Good to be in the house of God. I'm glad you're here. I don't know why I asked that. I've been waiting for someone to protest. We live in the age of protesting. Well, you're not going to protest around here. Amen. Because Jesus is Lord. I'm thankful for the fact that we can share the good word of God. And Judy and I just bought a car new to us. Have you ever felt trapped? Anybody ever felt trapped? And I went over to El Charles. I'm telling one on me, not her. And we have one of them, you know, remotes. You click a deal and the doors lock in the car. And I jumped out. I'm always eager to get into the place to eat as quick as possible. My stomach is very eager half the time to get a good meal. And so I bailed out of the car. Josh bailed out of the car. And Judy was riding in the back seat. Well, I didn't know that she hadn't got out yet, so I locked her in. And what's funny is she finally got the door unlocked, and then I'm one of these guys, I push the button twice. And sometimes I push the button thrice. And that's what I did today. I pushed the button three times. She got the door finally unlocked, and I pushed the button, locked her in again. She finally got it figured out, got the door unlocked again, and she finally had to go to the driver's door to get it unlocked, and then I hit the button again. So pray for me when I get home. Amen. Let's all stand. She got out of it. I'm glad we're going to get out of here. Glad we got an exodus. Jesus Christ is going to take us out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And 52. Paul is speaking, "Behold, I show you a mystery." That's something that's been concealed, something that's not been revealed yet. "We shall not all sleep," and that word sleep means physically die. We shall not all physically die. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, this last trump gets people mixed up. But you need to understand that don't try to put that last trump with the study of Revelation. Don't try to put that last trump somewhere else in the trumpet judgments of Israel. Everybody knows that there's a last in a lot of things. It's called eschatology. So what is eschatology? It's a big word. It just simply means the study of end time or end things. And just as Joshua sung the last song before I preached, that doesn't mean he's not going to sing again. It's just the last song before I preach. Just as Joshua, Daryl and Nimmer sung the last song before I give an offering. And that didn't mean they're not going to sing again, just meant it's the last song before the offering. And this last trump is to the church. And one day God is going to call us out, and we're going to be raptured off this planet. I'm going to go to meet Jesus in the air. You may be seated. I want to use for a subject tonight, end time stuff. And by the time I get through with you, I hope you're stuffed. End time stuff. And we want to stuff you with end time thoughts. Now, Paul says to Corinth, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, someone says, "Well, I don't believe in the rapture because it's not in the Bible." Bible's not in the Bible. Did you hear what I said? Bible's not in the Bible. Air conditioner's not in the Bible, but I'm glad we got it cranking tonight. Amen? And so just because something's not in the Bible doesn't mean that it's not real. Rapture means to be taken quickly, to be transported rapidly somewhere else. And I'm glad that the meaning of rapture is very much so in the Bible. It's called caught up. The Bible says that we shall be changed. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord. The Bible is very clear that we're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And the Bible says that the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That sign is probably in every nursery in the church. We shall be changed. Right? At least it should be. But I want you to listen to me very carefully, because I'm going to say some things and you're going to say, well, that's trite. That's simple. Well, it's so simple that sometimes we allow people to confuse us about eschatology, about the end time. And I don't want you to be confused at all. The Lord could come even now while I'm speaking. It is a promise to the church. And Paul said, I'm going to show you a mystery, meaning that it hadn't been revealed until Paul reveals it to Corinth. Is the catching away, is the rapture in other places in the Bible before this? Of course it is. But it's hidden. I'll give you an example. Remember when Jesus was standing outside the tomb of Lazarus? And he said to Martha, Mary, he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and life. That's in John 11:25. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, physically asleep, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth that's not died shall never die. Believest thou me? So right there in that verse 25 and 26, Jesus didn't say it, but there's going to be a group of people that will never die. It will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, Jesus didn't spell it out in plain vanilla, but it was there. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 21, and please hear me, because it's important that you understand that the catching away of the church triggers a time of darkness. The catching away of the church triggers the avalanche of end time events bringing Israel into the false Messiah, and later Jesus returning in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so you need to understand that really the second coming of Jesus Christ, we call it the second coming when Jesus comes and gets the church, but it's really not the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to Him. Who's doing the coming? We're going to Him. And He doesn't come to us, we go to Him. We're caught up to meet Him in the air. Nothing said of Jesus standing on earth at that time. In fact, when Jesus Christ returns for the church, He will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and Jesus will never stand on this planet. He will call us up off of this planet. And that's called the rapture of the church. That's called being caught up. In fact, we're going to get into that a little more in just a little bit, but please hear me, that when the church is removed, total darkness. Remember I mentioned this morning that when the church, I said this morning that the church is holding back all the evil, the church is holding back all what's about to unfold, the church is holding it back, and once the church is removed, it's just like the floodgates, just like the dam is broke. All evil is plunged on the planet because we have been taken out. Someone said, well, that means the Holy Spirit is taken. Well, I kind of differ with you. Even though you're such a theologian, I'm still going to disagree with you. Because I don't think the Holy Spirit is ever leaving. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to stay on this planet even after the church is caught up to meet Jesus in the air. You say, well, the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That argument is He's with us to the end of this age. We won't need the Holy Ghost when we're sitting around the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to back up real quick. We all need the Holy Ghost. I think even Jesus needs the Holy Ghost. And God the Father needs the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is God. But I just simply want to say that the Holy Spirit will still be here, and people will still be saved in the great tribulation. But they will not be saved as the church. They will be saved under a different program. They will not be part of the church. If there's one reason that just blows me away, that really makes me eager to make sure that I am caught up in the rapture to the church, I want to be a part of the church. I want a body that's like the body of Jesus Christ risen from the grave. I want to be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, spirit of his spirit, blood of his blood. I want to be a glorified saint of God, part of the church of Jesus Christ. And if a person misses that, he doesn't receive the same body that the church will receive. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but I just simply want to say that eschatology can be complex, but we need to remember that Jesus Christ is very clear about we need to be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be prepared, because he could come at this very moment while I'm talking. You're not going to have time to get right with God after you're caught up. You say, you just said, preacher, that people will be saved in the great tribulation. You're not going to have time to be part of the church. You're going to lose out. And I don't want to lose out on being part of the church. And you can think what you want to think. Well, bless God, I'm just glad I slip it in. You know, I'm just glad I get there. Well, that's a poor, sorry excuse for being backslid in this room. Hello. Now, let me do a little apologetics with you about eschatology. Eschatology is just a big word about end time. But let me show you something that's very important. First of all, when Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Let me first say that Paul, the Bible, the Spirit of God, is speaking to the church of Corinth. How many would agree that this verse is to the church of Corinth? And so let me do a little bit of apologetics. He is not speaking to the Old Testament saints. And he is not speaking to the nation Israel. He is speaking exclusively to the church of Corinth. And thus, if he's speaking to the church of Corinth, he's also speaking to the church here, you and I. And so that promise is to you and I, we shall not all sleep. Isn't that good? We should not all sleep. He's not talking about you getting bored in Sunday school. Amen? I've said this before. Paul preached till midnight, and the guy fell asleep. Eutychus and fell out of the window and broke his neck or something. He died. And Paul went down and raised him from the dead after he'd fell out of the window, because Paul had preached a long time, kind of like you felt this morning, a long time. And so Paul went and got him up. Well, the only difference between Paul and me is if you fall out of your pew because you fall asleep, I'm not getting you up. And I doubt I got the power to raise you from the dead, so you better stay seated solid and not go to sleep. And I've said this before, I'm a better preacher than Apostle Paul. I am. I'm better than him. Because Apostle Paul took all night to put that man to sleep. I can put you to sleep in 3 minutes. Amen. But the Bible says that we shall not all sleep, meaning physically, we shall not all fall asleep in death, physically. But the Bible says that we shall be changed. We'll be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Isn't that good? And I'm glad that we can stand there and take this scripture and say, this is talking to the church of Corinth. And it's also talking to you and I. At any moment, we could be caught up, like in Luke chapter 21, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus gives the illustration of Noah. He gives the illustration of Sodom and Gomorrah. He gives the illustration of two men in the field working, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Two in the bed, one taken, one left. And a lot of people try to figure that out and place that in the Great Tribulation, or try to figure that out and place that at the end of the age. But please listen to me. Jesus Christ, the message about the rapture of the church is that it will be sudden. And the coming of Jesus Christ to earth will be sudden. And so when it is sudden, when it suddenly happens, just as Noah went into the ark and then the flood came, it will be sudden. Darkness will come upon the earth. Just as Lot was taken out of the city and then the brimstone fell. It was sudden after Lot was removed. It was sudden after Noah was in the ark. And Jesus is trying to say, you're not going to have time to get ready. It's going to be a sudden avalanche of God's judgment that begins the moment the church is gone. That begins the moment that we're taken out of here. Amen? And we need to understand that the day of the Lord takes in not just one thing. A lot of people think, well, the day of the Lord is one event. Well, you know, this is the Lord's day. I got up this morning at 3 o'clock and I microwaved me some already microwaved oatmeal. And I ate me some already microwaved oatmeal. That's why I'm glowing today. I put some dried up raisins in it. All the juice had done been removed from the grapes. I eat some oatmeal. I drank some tea for breakfast. I don't drink coffee. I drink some tea, not hot, just cold. And I then prepared and dressed in the suit, got ready to go to the church so I could pray at 4 o'clock this morning. Well, since that time, I've eaten El Charles. Since that time, I've preached a sermon this morning. Since that time, I've visited folks. I've spent time doing certain things. All in the day of the Lord, or in the Lord's day. And so, hear me, the day of the Lord is not just one event. The day of the Lord is a wide scope of things that's going to happen. And the day of the Lord begins at the time that Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout, and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's when it begins. That triggers it. That triggers it. What is God waiting on? Just to trigger it? We're going to be taken out of here. And someone said that they won't miss us when we're gone. They will miss us when we're gone. But many of them folks will be glad we're gone. Many of them folks will be absolutely thrilled that we're gone. But let me take you to another church, the Church of Thessalonica. And it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. The Church of Thessalonica says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." How many ever had a loved one die, their body fell asleep, and the Bible says that as Christians, we don't have to sorrow like those that don't believe in God. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, can I get an amen right there? How many believe Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave? Of course he did. The Bible says if we believe that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now let me do a little apologetics here. And if you think apologetics means that I'm apologizing, you don't know nothing. I'm fussing. But the Bible says, them that sleep in Jesus. Now let's just be quite straightforward. When you go to heaven and you're with Jesus, do you really think you're going to be bored and go to sleep? So he's not talking about people that's with Jesus asleep, bored, or sleeping, that need rest. He's talking about people that have fallen asleep in Jesus here on this planet. And it means a physical death. And if you believe, the Bible says that Jesus rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So now we've got a beautiful picture here. God is going to bring them that's sleeping with him when he comes. Only they're not asleep with him, they're asleep on the earth. Thus, they are asleep down here and awake up there. Hello? They are asleep down here, but awake up there. And no matter how hard we try to get them to wake up, they're not going to wake up. Why? Because they're dead. But the Bible says they're asleep. And so the scripture says that Jesus will bring with him them that are dead in the graveyard. Thus, they're not in the graveyard. They're with Jesus, or Jesus couldn't bring them with him when he comes. Come on now. They have to be with Jesus in order for Jesus to bring them with him. You say, well, that just means the creative power of God. No, it means that they're with Jesus and he's going to bring them with him. And then the creative power of God begins. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that's you and me, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them that are asleep, meaning asleep on the earth. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Now he says the sleeping ones are dead. And he said the dead in Christ shall rise first. I heard a Baptist preacher say one time, we're the first going to get up in the resurrection. And I said, why do you say you're going to be the first? He said, we're Baptists. Says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I wouldn't have said that, but he said that. I'm just gossiping about what he said. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means bodily raised. That means they're going to get a body. I said that means they're going to get a body. And it's going to be a body like Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. Now I wanted to just get up and preach and snort and stomp and holler and run. Woo! And give God glory and just pray and have a spell. But the Lord said, slow down and give them this meaty bone. Make sure they get this because we're just about to get this. Hello? And I would love when we do get this that you know what happened. Amen? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Them is those that sleep in Jesus that's gone on before us to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The same word caught up means rapture. And it comes from a Greek word, harpazo. And harpazo is the same word we get harpoon from. And a harpoon is what you shoot out of a ship and you spear a whale and harpoon that whale to the ship. And one day Jesus Christ is going to stand out on the clouds and he's going to harpoon us. Only it won't hurt. And he will drag us out off this planet into the presence of God Almighty to meet the Lord in the air. Amen? He's going to do this in a twinkling of an eye. So we're going to be out of here with Jesus Christ before the devil can bat his eyelashes. The devil is the principality there. And Jesus is going to take us across the no trespassing atmosphere. And he's going to catch us into the presence of him, and the devil's not even going to know what happened. We're going to be through without any interference. Jesus Christ is going to take us through. Amen. Now, let me slow down again and just say, Jesus Christ is speaking, or Paul, by the Spirit of God, is speaking to the church of Thessalonica. He is not speaking to the saints, the Old Testament saints. He is not speaking to the nation Israel. He is speaking to the church of Thessalonica. Thus, these verses I just read to you is for us. Isn't that beautiful? Now, there's a reason I'm wading through this water, because I want you to understand that there's going to be people come behind me, or as Paul said, others will come and try to pervert the teaching that I give. And others are going to say, well, what about the last trump? Or what about this? Or what about that? Listen, that is a bunch of phooey. That is a bunch of nonsense. You can't be looking for Jesus Christ if he wasn't possibly coming tonight. You can't be eager, watching, ready to go to be with the Lord if he couldn't come tonight. And a preacher just advertises his stupidity in the Bible when he gets up and says the Lord can't come for another year or two, or can't come for another week, or can't come for another, there's got to be a great revival before the Lord comes. We got to see this mighty move of God. Well, who says they're not having it in other places? Just because your corner's dead don't mean it's dead everywhere. Hello? Come on. And they say, well, I've heard preachers say that. Well, the Lord can't come. Well, the question is just simply this. Are they looking for Jesus? No, they're looking for a great move of God. Well, I'd love... How many would agree that being caught up to meet Jesus in the air would be a great move of God? Woo! I'd choose that over a revival any day. That truly would be a great move of God if the Lord would just move us out into the presence of him in the clouds. Amen? And so the Bible says that when the Lord comes, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the Lord descends from heaven and comes down, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, he will bring those with him that have already gone on, even though their bodies are sleeping in the graveyard. And Jesus Christ will give them a brand new body likened to the one that he rose again from the grave. That's powerful stuff. How many would agree that is powerful stuff? Someone said, well, why do you need a body? Well, why do you need clothes? Hello? Why do you need a body? He said, well, I'd be content just to float around in the heavens without a body. Not me. Because Jesus Christ saved me body, soul, and spirit. I got a complete salvation. Now, when I got born again, my inward man was changed. When I got born again, my soul was changed. But my body just keeps getting older. My hair just keeps turning more gray. Obviously, this body was not saved. But one day, it shall be. Isn't that good? How many ready for a new saved body? Woo! Praise the Lord. I'm ready for a new saved body. And so we need to understand that God has called us. And this verse of Scripture is to Thessalonica. Now, what triggers this? What triggers this? What triggers the darkness? I want to point this out. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 11, then I'll preach a little bit. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. What's that verse saying? He's talking to Thessalonica. He's not talking to the Old Testament saints. He's not talking to the nation Israel. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica. What is he saying when he says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you? Paul is saying, you're not dummies. You're not dummies. You can look around and see that the Lord is going to come. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. He's given the analogy that a woman is pregnant, they go into travail, going to have the baby, there's no escape. There's no escape for mama. And there's no escape for papa. Once they go into travail, it's travail all over the house. It's travail wherever. And so the Bible says they shall not escape. So when the Lord comes, even though people say peace and safety, the Bible says at that juncture, darkness will come. Judgment will come. So listen to me. How many would agree that you are the light? God's church is the light of the world. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and of a helmet, and the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And he goes on to say in verse 11, we're to comfort ourselves together. Now, the Bible says that when the Lord comes, he's coming as a thief in the night. Question. If a thief breaks into your house, what is that thief going to steal? If a thief comes in the night, and he breaks into your house and he steals, he's not going to steal the trash bucket. He's not going to steal the mop. He's not going to steal the broom. He's not going to say, wow, there's a can of garbage. I'm going to take that with me. No, if a thief is going to come into your house, he's going to take the rubies. He's going to take the gold. He's going to take the money. He's going to take the valuable stuff. And when Jesus breaks into this atmosphere, it's his. He's not a thief, but he uses it as an analogy. When Jesus breaks into this atmosphere, he's going to come as a thief in the night, and he's coming after rubies. He's coming after his treasure. And you and I are his treasures. We are valuable to God, and he's coming for us. And when he comes to take us, he takes us home to be with him. And at that juncture, total darkness falls upon the earth. Immediately, they're plunged into the great, dreadful day of the Lord. The seventh week of Daniel. The Antichrist steps on the scene, the political Antichrist. Religious Antichrist steps on the scene, tries to bring some sanity to the world, which is impossible. And they're going to try to pick up the pieces and carry on without us. And Israel's going to appoint a Messiah that is a fake Messiah, a false Messiah. And Jesus Christ, and I said this morning, Jesus Christ said, make no mistake about it, when I come, don't let someone tell you, lo, Christ is in the city. Or lo, Christ is in here. Or lo, Christ is over there. He said, I want you to know that when I come, everybody will know I've come. But at the rapture of the church, not everybody's going to know what's happening. Because The coming of Jesus Christ is in two phases. The first one is to get us off of the planet so that the judgment of God can be poured out upon the earth. The first phase of the rapture is that the church will go to meet Jesus in the air. He won't touch the earth. We'll be up to be with Jesus for 7 years. What we'll be doing, it will be good, whatever it is. And we're going to be with Him during the time of the Great Tribulation. And we're going to, you say, well, bless God, I think the church is going to go through all this stuff. Well, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not called the church trouble. I've had my share of church trouble. Let's let Jacob have his for a while. Amen? It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And so we're going to be with Jesus. And at the end, when Jesus Christ returns to Israel, and I preached about this in St. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, little apocalypse, that this is all about Jesus returning to earth for Israel. And when He returns to earth for Israel, He's not coming in quietness or silence. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming as a man of war. And He's coming with us. We're going to be with Him. I heard someone say one time, well, we're going to fight with Jesus. No, we're not going to fight with Jesus. We're going to watch Jesus do all the work. Amen? Now, I don't expect for Jesus to do all the work now. God makes it possible. We make it happen. But I do understand that when Jesus Christ comes on that white stallion, He came to the city of Jerusalem on a mule, a donkey. But when He comes on that white stallion, according to Revelation 19 into 20, we're going to be riding with Him. And someone says, well, you know, a horse. Come on, a horse? That's just symbolic. Well, is it? The Bible says that God rides upon a cherub. Is it symbolic? Or does God have avenues of transportation that absolutely sonic booms beyond anything we can do? We're not talking about a horse that smells like a horse, gallops like a horse. We're talking about a horse that probably breathes fire. We're talking about a horse in a glorified body. We're probably talking about a horse that can gallop at the speed of light. Now, me and the horse have a problem with this. Because when I ride a horse, the horse is coming up when I'm going down. Hello? When I ride a horse, you know, we can't get it together. I can't go up with it and down with the horse. No, when the horse is coming up, I'm coming down. When I'm coming down, the horse is going up. And I mean, oh, you're going to need a glorified body to ever do anything like that. But these horses will be so incredible. You don't even have to gas them up. They're incredible. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, there's a lot of things you probably don't believe in that's true anyway. And we're going to come riding on the white horse. What if I was to tell you the book of Revelation has nothing to do with the rapture of the church? What if I was to tell you that the book of Revelation is not about the church, it's about Israel. It's about the judgment on the world. What if I was to tell you that it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the church? What if I was to tell you that the church is hidden in Revelation, and by the way, the church is mentioned in chapter 2, or actually chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then after the church is removed, it's not mentioned again until chapter 19, 20, 21, and 22. Church is not even mentioned during the Great Tribulation. Why? Because the church ain't going to be there. The Bible says that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God has not appointed us unto wrath. Listen to me. God has not appointed us unto wrath. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when Jesus Christ comes, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, behold, He cometh with the clouds. The Bible says that every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. That's in Revelation 1:7. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is about the unveiling of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And when Jesus returns to earth to get his church, no one sees it but us, the church. But when Jesus returns to the earth to fight in the battle of Armageddon, to stand on the Mount of Olives, every eye shall see him. Everyone shall know him. I want you to visualize Jesus coming back on a white stallion. And out of his tongue is a sharp two-edged sword. I want you to visualize the heavens breaking open and you and I riding with him and a myriad of angels. I want you to visualize zillions of angels riding along with us, coming in the clouds of glory, and Jesus breaking the whole atmosphere, the whole spectrum. And Jesus is coming into the earth as he comes down off that stallion down into the valley of Megiddo. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He's coming with hailstones, lightning, blood, floods, raining, torrential rain, lightning, and the voice of thunder and the power of God. And Jesus Christ is going to sweep through the valley of Megiddo, the Armageddon Valley, and he's going to conquer that valley of Jehoshaphat, and he's going to conquer the enemies of this earth, and he's going to crush them. And King Jesus is going to set up a 1,000 millennial reign. And during that 1,000-year millennial reign, Democrats won't be running the place. Wait a minute before you start going, woo! Neither will Republicans. Thank you very much. Neither will independents. Jesus will run the place because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to give his church the opportunity to once and beautiful honeymoon. We're going to be running the planet. Now that's worth getting saved over, just to get to run the planet. Amen? Now the way some of you attend church, you'll probably be the dog catcher over on the other side of the planet. I think we'll be rewarded for our faithfulness and our commitment to the Lord. During this millennial reign, some of us will be governors. Some of us will be councilmen or councilwomen. Some of us will be sheriffs. And you say, well, why do you need law in the millennium? Not everybody's going to be saved in the millennium. There's going to be a bunch of folks here when Jesus returns. And during the millennium, they're still going to have babies. And babies are not converted till they're converted. They grow up. And so everybody has to be saved. So in the millennium, you say, well, I don't believe we're going to be having babies. No, the church won't be having babies. We'll be as the angels. But the earthly people on the earth will still be having babies. And how many know, how many believe the Bible? Ye must be born again. How many believe the Bible? Ye must be born again. Do you believe that? How many believe you must be born again? Let me ask you again. How many believe you must be born again? Do you believe that that is an all-conclusive statement? Do you believe that a must is a must? Do you believe that everyone must be born again? Do you believe that? Before you say, yes, I believe that, stop and think. All children that leave this planet before the age of accountability, they too will have to announce Jesus as Lord. God don't give everybody a free pass. You must be born again. Children are going to grow up in the millennium and they're going to be given the opportunity. You say, well, why is the battle of Gog and Magog? That's what it's all about. The devil's going to be loose for a short season, and those that have grown up in the millennium will be tested by the devil, and they too must be born again. You know, preacher, I don't believe that. I believe that if a baby is young and dies, it immediately goes to heaven. I believe that too. I believe they go to heaven. But I believe they will be given that opportunity to grow up in the millennium. Now, if you believe it any other way, you're giving them a free pass. If you believe it any other way, you're giving them a free pass. I realize I'm not making friends right now, but you listen to me. If we could all go to heaven as babies, God would have killed us before we were fully born. If we could go to heaven, there would be no reason for Jesus to come and die. God could just take us as children. But one must be born again. Amen? Let me answer a question, and then I'm going to be done. But now that I've got everybody, I can't believe you said that. Now that I've got everybody where you're at, let me just say another thing. Question, if the Lord returns in the rapture, will all the children be raptured? Answer. All the children that are in the household of a believer will be raptured. If you're a Christian, you have young children, at the rapture, your young children will go with you. But if there's two unbelievers and they have children, they won't go in the rapture. They'll be left with their parents. But if there's just one father or one mother that's saved, and the children are not at the age of accountability, they will go with their... And Paul told Corinth that the believing parent sanctifies the child. So that sounds so unfair. What's unfair about it? You say, well, they're going to go through the great tribulation because if the two parents are not saved, if the two parents are unsaved, then the kids are going to be left with their parents. Would they rather be taken? Or would they rather be with their parents? The children would rather stay with their parents. And God knows that. Yeah, but you know, you're not protecting them. Well, how many children in other countries right now not being protected? How many other children are being abused and neglected in the world today? Nothing's changed. Children are abused and neglected because people don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? That's why, and I'm not saying that all unbelievers are unkind to the children. I'm just saying the spectrum of children having difficulties is because of an unconverted nature. Amen? So, if you have children, the best thing for you to do is get saved. So that if the Lord comes, your babies will go with you. Isn't that good? Hello? And so you say, preacher, I just don't know whether I buy that. Well, read the book of Corinthians and begin to read about the sanctification of the child and how the child is sanctified by the believer. And I think you're going to come to the same conclusion. Good Bible study, huh? Good thought. The Lord's coming. And when He comes, God's going to sort all this out. I've got a little niece that died. Little precious niece that died. She was 2 years old. She hurt so bad, she had a tumor on the brain. And my little 2-year-old niece named Tanya would hurt so bad with the tumor on her brain that she would take her head and hit it against the wall to try to relieve the pain. We'd take that little girl down to St. Jude's, and they would do what they could. And that little girl, the doctor said to my brother and sister, tell the child what's happening. Talk to the child and tell the child is going to die. Just tell the child what's happening. Doctors felt like the child needed to hear what was happening to it. So they told the child, you're going to go be with Jesus. You're going to fall asleep. You're going to wake up and there's Jesus. And he's going to take care of you till we meet again. And they told the child that. The child got so bad that finally, at the last few moments of the child's life, the little baby motioned for mama. Mama picked the little girl up, and the little girl wrapped her arms around mama and kissed her. And then she motioned back to the bed, and mama laid the little girl down. The little girl looked up at her daddy, and daddy reached down and picked her up. And the little girl wrapped her little arms around daddy, patted his cheek and kissed him. And then she pointed back to the bed, and little daddy laid the little girl down, and the little girl fell asleep. See, why are you sharing this? Because that little girl, 2 years old, is going to know what it's like to grow up. That little girl is going to know what it's like to graduate, to grow up, to get married, to live a life. And it's all going to be granted to her in the millennium. And during that millennium, that little girl will decide whether or not she is going to be born again. Now, isn't that beautiful? Now, somebody said, well, I just can't grab that. I'm a premillennialist. No, you're not. If you disagree with this, you're not premillennial. Because there is going to be a 1,000-year reign. And there is going to be a time in which we will enter into a new phase of life. Amen? Told you I was going to talk about eschatology. Told you I was going to talk about end times. You wasn't counting on this, were you? But please hear me. The Lord could come at any moment, and when he does, he knows how to sort out what's right and wrong. And we'll all have a chance. And every child will have a chance. And every human being will have a chance to live forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? I don't believe God chooses some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that. I don't believe for a second that God chooses some to go to heaven, some not. I believe God has chosen every human being he's ever created to go to be with him in heaven. And it's all a matter of their choice. I believe that. Good news. If you want to go to heaven, you can. Stand with me. Josh is going to bring a song. Now, some of the things I've talked about tonight is uncomfortable. Some of the things I've talked about seems really incredible. But I've studied the scriptures. I've been in the Word for 44 years. And I can't see how it could be any other way. And I'm glad that the Lord could come tonight. Wouldn't it be good before we get home, we're there? So what are you going to do if we get raptured out today? I'm going to find a place in heaven and I'm going to say, I told you so. I just preached that. Amen? I'm going to have to say it, I told you so, in a hurry, because when we get to our final destination, that probably won't be permitted anymore. I told you so. But we're going to give an invitation. Please, this is serious. Our children being right with God is so serious. our lives being woven and brought into things of the Lord. God is coming after us. Dave's got a sweet mother that her body's about to go to sleep. But she'll be awake up there and asleep down here. And the Lord will come and his sweet little mama is going to get a brand new body. That's good news. Altar's open as Josh plays and sings.